This morning, as we affirm Braden as our youth pastor, I want to challenge you, Braden, but not only Braden, I want to challenge the rest of us as well as we consider how we can and are equipping the next generation for Jesus. A little girl, she called out one day, she called out, "Mommy, you know that vase, that beautiful vase, that beautiful old vase that's in the china cabinet? You know the one that's been handed down from generation to generation?" "Yes, dear, I know which one you mean. What about it?" "Well, Mommy, I'm sorry, but this generation just dropped it." Sometimes we have good intentions, sometimes we make mistakes. But I think all of us, or many of us at least, we have mementos that we like to hang on to, or that things that we want to pass on to children, or grandchildren, or just family, or just young people in general. There are those here that have things that are special to you because they've been passed down to you from generation to generation. So if our kid goes into the china cabinet or whatever the special place is that you hold your, it's like, don't touch that. That's the good china. That's the thing that we want to hang on to. When you're older, you can have that. Maybe it's even a toy. Sometimes there's toys that we want to pass down generation to generation. We hang on to those things very tightly, but one of the things that I carry around with me that's passed down to generation isn't something I'm overly fond of. It's this patch of baldness here that has been passed down to me as well. But there's some things that we just maybe would rather not have passed down to us, but there's nothing that we can do about those things. However, I believe all of us, especially as followers of Jesus, we have this desire to equip, to pass down to the next generation the best thing that we can give them. We want to give them the best opportunities to succeed in life, to live meaningful lives. We try and prepare them and it doesn't matter who you are or whether you have children or don't have children, there's part of us that wants to pass down certain things from generation to generation to help them succeed, to avoid some of the maybe the challenges or struggles or the mistakes that we've made. And so we try to equip them for the younger generations, the next generation. We try to equip them for relationships. And I'm not talking about just relationships with the opposite sex. I mean, we want to equip people to be able to, how do you live in friendship? How do you deal with friends who, who are imperfect people? How do you live that out? We want to equip the next generation jobs or careers, or maybe we want to help them be best equipped they can be for financially. We want to make or equip them, help them to equip them to make good choices in life. We do want to shape our kids and their kids with good values, good morals, and good ethics that will be helpful for all of life. And we go to great lengths and great expense sometimes enrolling them in all kinds of activities to give them the best opportunities to be equipped the best they can. We enroll them in sports. We or the arts, or possibly it's we give them experiences through travel, or we want to provide give them a good education, or culturally we want to equip our kids well, and so we go to great lengths to do that at some point. We spend time with the next generation. And we try to pass on those little nuggets of wisdom that we found beneficial when we were growing up, from our real life experiences even. And as followers of Jesus, of course, one of the most important things, or the most important thing that we want to pass down to the next generation, is the relationship that we have with Jesus. Our desire is to equip the next generation to know about Jesus so that then when they are of age, when they have an understanding, they can choose to follow him as well. Moses recognized the importance that there was in equipping the next generation for Jesus. Moses, he's talking to the Israelite people, and he charges or commands the people with this summary of the law in what is called the Shema. And Betty talked about verses 6 and 7, but I'm going to start at verse 4 in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And Deuteronomy chapter 6 starts out with, "Hear, O Israel." And what this verse is saying, what Moses is actually saying is, "Hear, O Israel." But it goes beyond actually just hearing the words. In the original Hebrew language, this had more significance. It goes beyond just knowing and understanding, but it has to do with the doing, with the obedience, walking in obedience. So when he's saying, "Hear, O Israel," it says, "Listen up, guys. Listen up, what I have to say next is extremely important, and I need you to, or as followers of Jesus, as followers of Yahweh, live this out in everyday life." And Moses, in 4b, he emphasizes one God. Isn't this interesting? And I'll talk about that in a minute. He says, "The Lord is our God, the Lord is one." So he's saying, "Hear, O Israel. The Lord is our God. The Lord is one God." And the reason that he spent some time emphasizing the fact that the Lord is God, he is one, was because the Jewish people had been influenced by the Egyptians. And the Egyptian people, they worshipped up to about 1,200 gods. And Moses is saying, "No, no, no. We worship the one true God. There is only one God." And so this Shema, as they call it, is this prayer that they would begin to, all of their services would begin with the Shema. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one." In fact, it's one of the earliest things that children would learn to or memorize because it was of great importance to them. But the Lord is God. There is one God. There is one Lord. Now our gods today, we may say, "Well, that's ridiculous." Now our gods today may not be in the form of an actual God that we talk about, or a statue or a figure. But we too are subject to worshiping gods. And they might be an object or object of our desire, or maybe it's projects that we like to do or have, or maybe it's some of our hobbies. We actually spend more time thinking about our projects, our hobbies, or the objects, or even about people than we do about Jesus. Jesus is one of those things that's secondary. Well, that then becomes our idol. And what Moses is saying here to the people of Israel, but not only that, by extension, this comes to us as well, is listen up. There is only one God. And this isn't only a statement of belief, but it's also a loyalty oath. It's a commitment to loyalty. You must decide today, is it God, the one true God, or not? And then, commit to him. And perhaps it's helpful for all of us to remember what it is that we committed to when we became a follower of Jesus. In verse 5, Moses talks about it. He says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might, with all of your strength." This is it. The Jewish people were being called to love one God. And of course, by extension, that includes all of us. We are being called to love the one true God. And this love of God involves our total person, your total being, heart, soul, mind, strength. And the heart was regarded, in the time this was written, the heart was regarded as the seat of the mind, if you will. The seat of the mind and the will. It controlled the emotions. The Hebrew word for soul is more difficult to define, but it seems to refer to the source of life and vitality. What gives you life? What gives you makes you come to life, or even to one's being? And the two terms heart and soul indicate that we are to love God with unreserved devotion. We are also to love with all of our might, all of our strength. And the people of Israel are to show a love which dominates their emotions, directs their thoughts, and is the dynamic of their actions. This degree of love will be evident to God, but not only to God, this degree of love will be evident to others. And then in verse 6, we're running out of time. I get that. You don't have to drive anywhere to go for lunch. It's going to be right there. So I'm going to go with this story because God just said, do it. Thank you. We just met with a great couple on our holidays fantastic times. But anyways, they were telling us this story of these two girls that started coming to their church. And this is fantastic. And these girls became followers of Jesus. Their mom and dad didn't attend the church. Their mom and dad didn't know Jesus. And one day the dad, he's driving past the church, and he said, you know what, if the pastor's car is at the church today, I'm going to stop in and I'm going to ask him what's going on. So he drives up, and sure enough, and typically it was a Monday, this pastor rarely went to church on Sunday, and he sees the car and is sitting at the church on a Monday, and he's like, oh, I should probably just drive by. And he said, no, I can't. And so he pulled in, and he went in and he talked to the pastor, and he said, hey, what did you do to my kids? What did you do to my daughters? Because they've completely changed. They're completely different people. And so this pastor friend that we met with, he said, I just asked him, I said, do you want that? Do you want what they have? Because I know what they have. And he led him to the Lord. And 2 weeks later, the mom saw the dad's change. And the children's change. How they had changed. Everything about them changed. And he led them to the Lord. And a very short time later, those two girls were killed, both of them, in a tragic car accident. They knew Jesus, and their mom and dad struggled like crazy, but found strength in Jesus. It will be our testimony, who we follow, how much we love God, will reveal, be a revelation of God to others. And then in verse 6, Moses instructs believers, and he's going beyond this whole knowledge. Again, sometimes I think we want this knowledge so much, but it goes beyond just knowledge. And he says in verse 6, these words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. So know them. They've got to be on your heart. But you have to live them. And then he says, and you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way. Here's how it's living it out. Not only do you teach them diligently in a classroom setting, in a formal setting, you teach them when in your house, when you're walking around, when you're doing the things of life, you are teaching because you're living it out. By the way you lie down, by the way, and when you rise up. It means that we are teaching. How do we teach? How do we pass down this Jesus to the next generation? We live it out. We live out our faith each and every day. And Moses is telling the Jewish community that these words, the Shema, are essential not only for our own spiritual well-being, but they're fundamental in equipping the next generation for God's glory. this kind of teaching, like I said, goes far beyond the classroom setting. Teaching the scriptures involves teaching through word and example. Be a model to your children. Be a model to all of those around you, not only to your children, but all of those around you. Being a follower of Jesus, you teach by how you live your lives every day, how you parent, how you work, how you play, how you live in community with other people, how you live in community with your family, at home, away from home. Every hour of every day should be a reflection of God's love and your love for Him. I know that's, I think probably most of us know that. But man, when I examine my life, how am I equipping my kids with how I live when things go wrong? How am I equipping my kids how I handle when things go wrong? This is not only something for the Old Testament believers. Because in Matthew, Jesus is quoting Deuteronomy 6 when he's asked, what is the greatest commandment? There's a lawyer, he's trying to trim up, what is the greatest commandment? And he said to them, Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and foremost commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. When one loves with their entire being, body, soul, mind, spirit, they are to extend that love to others, to their neighbors, to their family, to those inside and outside the church. When God is your very life, your heart's desire is to see others know this same Jesus. And as followers of Jesus, we have a responsibility in equipping the next generation for Jesus. In Ephesians 6, Paul is giving instructions to Christian parents, and he says this, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And how do you do that? It starts with the greatest commandment, the Shema, if you will. We as individuals are instrumental and responsible for equipping the next generation for Jesus. And as a church family, we have opportunity to come alongside parents collectively as a body to equip the next generation for Jesus. And as followers of Jesus, we are to exhibit a love which dominates our emotions, directs our thoughts, and is the dynamic of our actions. Today I want to encourage you, all of us, to be mindful of the role each one of us play in equipping the next generation for Jesus. And it goes beyond just the doing. It's about being in authentic relationship, living out with each other. And I'm sure that all of us our desire is to equip the next generation for Jesus. And maybe it's time today to take inventory, so to speak. What is it? When you look at your own life, what is it that you are handing down to your children? Is it only a vase, so to speak, that can be broken? Comfort, maybe, home. Food, material things, important as they are, or is it the gospel that we're handing down to them, the gospel that transforms lives, that transforms the life of a family that I mentioned earlier? And this is a question that I ask myself, so I don't ask it to you lightly either, because it's a hard question. How are you doing personally? This isn't only the church's job, the lead pastor's job. This is all of our jobs as followers of Jesus. How are you doing at equipping the next generation for Jesus? How are you doing living out the gospel to the next generation? Man, I can teach like crazy, but how am I living out that gospel to the next generation in my life? You see, so often we do not remember the words that are spoken, but we remember the authenticity by which those words were spoken, the love with which they were said. I have my youth leaders when I was a wee lad, my youth leaders, they still attend this church. They are grayer and balder, probably because of me. I'm kidding. I won't mention your names now. My youth leaders, I don't know if I remember a single word that they said to me. I'm sorry. What you said was probably fantastic. You know what I remember vividly? I remember how when I was an annoying, obnoxious teenager, you continued to love me. You laughed with me, and you didn't kick me out of the youth program. My behavior was absolutely brutal, and I am sorry. But what you did by loving me and accepting me is the loudest words that you ever spoke, equipping the next generation for Jesus. Thank you. Perhaps as important as equipping our kids with wisdom, are we listening to the next generation? Are we listening to the next generation to hear what it is they're saying, what they need? And perhaps you've tried to engage in equipping the next generation and it didn't seem to work out, or your efforts were maybe seemed like they were rejected, and I get that. And that's maybe a conversation we can have for another time, but let's commit ourselves to a renewed energy, a renewed investment into our next generation. And here's a few ways that we can begin in our efforts. And I mentioned this already. Listen to hear just what the next generation is facing. Hear what their actual needs are versus what we think they need. After our leadership summit, where I invited a couple of up-and-coming leaders, we'll call them, we're having a conversation. We're talking about relationship. I think that's where Name Tag Sunday was actually born, was at that meeting. Maybe not. But one of the things somebody mentioned, what if we stand up, how do we get to know each other? How do we get to be in relationship with one another in this church? And somebody mentioned, and it might be okay, somebody said, well, what about if you just, you know, were more deliberate and asked people to stand up and shake hands and greet people around us? And one of the up-and-coming leaders said, she said, you know what, I don't like that, because the only reason I do it, it's not that I want to build relationship with somebody, it's because Pastor Gary said we should stand up and shake somebody's hand. You know what? I like that this person has the courage to say, and they've talked a few other things about what's going on in their lives. How do we listen? How do we hear what they are saying, what they need? Be interested in their likes and dislikes. And that can be challenging. I get it. It's challenging when you don't have a clue about what they're talking about, the books they're reading or the video games they're playing. You don't have a clue. You don't. But what if, and this is something I wrestle with, when I'm not interested in something, how do I engage? How am I interested in that in my own family? What about honesty? Oh, I struggle with this, with my kids. As I'm trying to equip them and save them from all kinds of the garbage that I went through and causing their youth pastor grief, so sorry, Braden, my son's going to be. Anyways. It's gone. What I was saying is gone. So let's try being honest. Ah, there we go. And sometimes I don't want my kids to know what I did, or I don't want them to know why I don't want them their curfew to be 3 a.m. in the morning, because I'm scared they will do the stupid things the damaging things that I did. But maybe it's about being honest and saying, hey guys, this is the why. You know what my kids say most of the time when I say this is the why? Yeah, but Dad, that's just absolutely stupid. Yeah, I know. I get it. So he knows better than me. Sorry. Try honesty. If you don't know, if you don't know it, own it. Be willing to learn from the next generation. I love that. I love that. Reverse mentoring, it's called. They can tell, and they can tell if you really are wanting to learn or not being genuine. Okay, what do we do here, Pastor Vern? In a few minutes, we will officially install Braden. I don't like that word. We're going to officially commission Pastor Braden as our youth pastor. As I have listened to Braden's goals and approach for youth ministry, I really see them as an extension of our mission statement as a church, and like I said earlier, we're going to walk through that next week. But his goals to equip the next generation have to do with transparency, wanting honest feedback, practical teaching, and using teachable moments, learning by doing, gospel and Bible-oriented teaching, relational versus authoritarian, biblical truth that includes the why, not just the what, and not just because the Bible says. What an exciting opportunity that we all have, and specifically you, Braden, in equipping our next generation to follow Jesus. This process has been an incredible journey as we have invited you as a church to pray with us, to pray together as a church family. This has been a process for this young couple as they have prayed about it and processed these things as well. And I think Braden and Marlise, you can attest to this, as can we, that we have saw God's leading and his calling and his direction as our leadership was in overwhelming agreement with this, and you as a church affirmed that with an overwhelming majority, affirming that the calling of Braden as our youth pastor. And today we want to commission you into that role officially. I want to give two charges, and I'll try to be brief. I want to give two charges. I want to give one to you as a congregation, and then I want to give one to Braden. First to you, the church family, please know this is coming from a heart of love and care for you, and coming from Scripture, Hebrews 13, verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy, not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. And then verse 18. Pray for us. Specifically, pray for Braden and his wife, Marlise. For we are sure that we have a good conscience, desiring to conduct ourselves honorably in all things. How can you impact your leadership? How can you impact your pastors? How can you have the greatest influence on your pastors, keeping them in check with being diligent to God's word and faithful in preaching and teaching to God's word? It's on your knees. It's on your knees praying for your pastors. You can have the most influence and the most effect in your prayer life. I want you to remember, as Braden steps into this role, church, I want you to remember, Braden, maybe we say it like this, don't compare Braden to any former youth pastors, youth leaders, youth sponsors. We did it this way. What this verse is telling us is saying, you know what, we want to as we pray, we want Braden to be led by the Spirit, to lead in his own personality and his own convictions that God has given us in conjunction with what the leadership, the ministerial, the spiritual leaders of this church approve or keep him accountable or hold him accountable to. Allow him to spread his wings. Allow him to be the person that God wants him to be. Submit to his leadership. I'm calling you to support him. Give him room to grow. Give him room to fly, if you will. Give him room to flourish. And like I said earlier, if you want to affect the most change in the youth program, it's on your knees. Braden and Marlies, I invite you to come up now at this time. This has been a fantastic journey. It's been a hard journey. It's been a challenging journey. And as you step into this position today, officially, I want to charge you with these words from 1 Peter 5, 1-4. When Peter says to his elders, he says, "Therefore I exhort the elders among you, as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd the flock of the youth. Shepherd the flock among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily according to the will of God, and not for your own sordid gain, but with eagerness, not yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples of the flock, living it out. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading glory." Often we don't do this because we want man's glory, but remember this: when we don't get the affirmations all of the time, that we will receive a crown of glory from our Father. Braden, you are stepping into a new and exciting position as our youth pastor. You have this incredible privilege and opportunity to influence and shape and equip the next generation for Jesus. And you are being called to. That's what we're doing here. We're commissioning you to the role of shepherding the flock of our youth. And I know that you have prayerfully, and I know your character, that you have prayerfully considered this, and your desire is to be faithful to that call to your life. Braden, recognizing the qualifications and expectations that God in his word places on us as pastors, on elders, on you today specifically, are you committed to fulfilling those wholeheartedly and consistently in all areas of your life and in ministry? Thank you, Marlies, for committing to stand by Braden in his decision, because this not only affects Braden, it impacts you. It impacts your family, your future family. And so thank you for standing by him, and I know that your desire is to continue to stand by him prayerfully. And so with that, I commission you as the Osler as the youth pastor of Osler Mission Chapel. Pastor Braden. Pastor Braden. What a privilege. What a privilege. Steve and Marge, why don't you come up? And I'm going to have Steve and Marge pray over each one of them, and then I'll close in prayer. Church, can I invite you to stand as an affirmation of your desire to pray for this couple and invite them in as our youth pastor? Let's pray.
Father God, we want to thank you for this couple that has decided to follow you in their walk in life. And it's going to be a challenge at times, and it's going to be such a joy. I pray for Marlies especially right now. Pray for spiritual protection as she walks alongside Braden and as she starts to get to know some of the girls in the youth group. I pray that you will give her an emotional and physical well-being, that she can be a positive influence on the people that she comes in contact with, whether it be at home or whether it be at youth. Lord, I pray that you will help her to love her husband, and that with that love also will come unity as they try in unison to do the best job they can in helping young people follow you, not just people from our church, but also from the community. Father, I pray for wisdom for her as she maybe brainstorms with Brayden on issues of youth or ideas. I pray that you will help her to be a support in that way, and that you also learn how to balance family and ministry. And sometimes that's an exhausting challenge of knowing how to balance that, but I pray that you will give her wisdom in that as well. I pray for a good relationship with their children as well as the children of the youth. I pray that it will be a fruitful ministry, a rewarding ministry, and that you will feel your hand on them as they try to do this ministry together. And I pray that you also bring alongside other women that she can lean on that will be meaningful relationships for her in sometimes what can be a lonely role as a pastor's wife. And I pray that you will just bless them as they continue to walk in this journey. In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord God, eternal, immortal, invisible, heaven is your throne, earth is your footstool. Thank you for calling each one of us to follow you. God, we bow before you today, asking you to bless Brayden in the role of youth pastor at Ulster Mission Chapel. And we thank you for the plans that you have for him, to be able to bring glory to your name, and to be able to draw people to yourself. And while the experience that he has in business and in working with the youth who are going to inform what he does, God, I pray that it is a heart of love that defines your servant. Because without love, we are nothing. And God, give him the courage to be able to share your word and to share your heart with compassion.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
And with authority. Yes, knowing that you are watching him. For as Apostle Paul said, who is adequate for such a task? And God, when plans go together well and things work out well and he can see your hand in it, may he praise you because you are good and because you are faithful. And when he struggles and things don't come together well or he has questions and not sure where to go, God, in his prayer for wisdom, may he find himself in the presence of the all-wise God, his Savior. And God, now that he's stepping into two new roles, both as a shepherd and soon as a father, God, will you teach us how to support him? Teach us how to pray for him, how to stand alongside. And I pray that you would watch over his family as he watches over this ministry, and he learns to discern and looks to you to discern where to spend his time and his energy. As a husband, as a dad, and as a shepherd. We pray these things before you, God, who has called us into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, because you alone are faithful. God, you are good. And everybody said, amen.
I want to pray and bless them as well. Father God, we thank you today for this couple. Thank you, Father, for how you have transformed their lives and how you continue to transform their lives each day more and more to your image. Thank you, Father, for the desire that they have to follow you and be obedient to you in whatever you have for them. And so, Father, as they step into this role, may you give them the incredible joy. May you give them incredible peace. And, Father, that they would be overflowing with love for their flock. We pray that you would continue to give them the power of the Holy Spirit and incredible wisdom and discernment as they will not only need to as Braden will not only need to lead Bible studies and lead spiritual conversations, but also to discern and be able to understand and hear the youth and their situations and the things that they go through, and to be able to love and care for them well in light of living out life in this world. So, Father, would you empower him again more and more each day with your Holy Spirit's strength. Thank you that Braden is not walking this journey alone, but he has the indwelling Holy Spirit who has equipped him for this very role and who will continue to equip him for this very role and continue to fill him and give him joy and strength for this journey. So, Father, would you allow him just to rest in you and your ability to lead him and guide him? Father, I pray for humility, and that he would not rest in his own knowledge and wisdom, but that he would rely on you, and that he would continue to surrender to you each day and allow you to guide him and lead him as he leads the youth ministry. Father, thank you for the youth in our church. Thank you for the influence and that Braden and Marlise will have in leading them and developing and equipping them for Jesus. So, Father, thank you for that. Thank you for this church who loves well, who cares for people well. Thank you, God, that you will continue to show your love through this church, through these people. Father, thank you for this body who loves well. And as we go from here and as we eat, Father, may our conversations be an encouragement to one another. Father, as we build one another up in love and as we partake from your bountiful provision, Father, we pray your blessing on our food and our time together. We pray these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Braden and Marlise, I invite you to go to the back. And so if people want to greet and meet you, if you would like to stay and join us for one last song, we're going to invite the worship team up. And I want to present you with this gift from Ozer Mission Chapel. Welcome to our ministerial team. Welcome to the pastoral role. I'm very excited to get to know you guys more. Lord bless you guys. Thank you so much.